Brody's a fan of Joe Rogan.
I like Joe Rogan.
All right, we're rolling. Welcome to the Arcaner's Lang Show. Brody Smith.
That's my first soundbite.
Everybody, people who listen to the Eric Andrews Lang Show love Joe Rogan. Am I right? If you gotta love it.
He has a lot of really, really good guests on, and normally, I'm subscribed to him, and then I'm also subscribed to, I'm guessing it's his channel as well, but it's like the Clips one.
Yeah, on YouTube.
On YouTube. So he posts up, instead of like doing the 3 hour, 4 hour long podcast, you know, he posts up like little small 10 minute bits.
Right.
And so,
like Elon Musk on the blunt.
Yeah. So a lot of times I'll watch one of those, and if it's like, oh, wow, that was actually really interesting, then I'll just go straight podcast,
right?
Watch the full thing.
Right. So for those people that don't know the Brody Smith experience, if you will.
Oh, man.
You came up, you're an athlete, but you're also now a social media entrepreneur.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way of putting it.
Your athlete, your tool for athleticism was a frisbee.
Yeah.
Is a frisbee.
Yeah. In
you said not as much anymore, though, today, I heard
yeah,
you say.
So in high school, just to give you a quick background, I don't know how important it is, but a quick background, high school, I played pretty much everything, right? I did cross country, track and field. I did a year of golf and then tennis.
Gangster.
So kind of bounced around. Before that, I did a lot of basketball, but I didn't get the tall gene until like
you're like later. 6'3", 6'2"?
I'm 6'5".
6'5".
But I was 5'7" my freshman year in high school, and everyone like that was 5'7" in eighth grade decided to get above 6 feet.
Right.
So I was quickly.
They flew in late.
Yeah, I quickly was like, basketball might not be my sport. So, yeah, I stuck to all of those. And then cross country my senior year, we kind of got a little bit more involved with Ultimate Frisbee.
Okay.
And kind of loved it and then went to University
of Florida.
So, wait,
they had Ultimate Frisbee at your school?
No. So, it was like a club
that
we had this guy called Coach Sparks. He was the geography teacher there. And the word on the street was his wife was not only super attractive but also like super wealthy.
Okay.
So he just taught because he loved it. But he like taught and surfed. That was his life.
Okay. And this is in Ponte Vedra, Florida.
This is in Ponte Vedra, Florida. Nice. Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, I'll be the sponsor for an Ultimate Frisbee Club. Why not?" And so once a month we would just all show up and like 40 people would show up and we'd be like, "All right, 20 on 20. Here we go."
And so this is like late 90s?
This is early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, so I graduated high school in 2005.
And so Frisbee at the time it's popular, but I mean, is it going to get more popular as time goes on?
So the way I view Ultimate Frisbee right now and just kind of the landscape of it is I think it's kind of grown obviously over the last couple years. I think there's a lot of things, unfortunately, that are happening kind of in the small community, if you will, of the people that kind of can push the sport to kind of keep it small.
Right.
And not branch out. If you look at something like CrossFit, for example, CrossFit was a very, very small niche sport.
Right.
Until someone had a vision and got Reebok involved, and then it just blew up.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Does it bother you when other people curse?
It doesn't.
I know you don't curse.
No, I don't. Okay. It doesn't bother me.
Fine. We'll unpack that later.
So, yeah, we can go into that either. My channel and stuff like that, I try to keep it as family-friendly as possible, right. Mainly because my mom, like we were talking earlier, my mom's a teacher, and we have a lot of her kids watch my stuff.
Right.
Right, and so I try to, if I'm going to post something on my stuff, then I try to, you know, have a little conversation with someone before and be like, hey, man, let's just try to keep this as family friendly as possible just because my mom's got a lot of kids.
Let's have a clean fight.
Yeah, let's have a clean fight. Have fun. But no, it doesn't bother me at all. And, you know, I don't drink either.
Right. Oh, you don't drink? I didn't know that. I don't drink either.
You don't?
No.
Oh, let's go, dude.
Fist bump.
I think a part of that, though, honestly, is carbonation kills me.
Really?
Yeah, have you met anyone like that? My mom's the same way.
I drink a Coke every once in a while.
It doesn't really burn your throat.
I mean, it's not good for me, but you
know. Like to me, it's like painful to drink.
No, I don't have that problem.
Yeah, so
I'm just an alcoholic.
Yeah. So if I stay away. Okay.
You know, if I drink, I end up like I would be in the hangover. We're in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
And if I drank,
so this is impressive that you.
Well, it's been 17 years.
Oh, okay. So you're solid.
It's my life now.
Oh, okay.
So wait, let's get back into this, but CrossFit and Reebok, let's finish that one.
Sure, yeah. So for most sports, that's kind of how most sports grow, right? Is once they start having some traction, some momentum, a big sponsor will look at it and be like, hey, I feel like I can kind of make my stamp in this, right? And get a little bit. I think skateboarding was probably very similar.
Oh, yeah, Vans.
Vans, Nike, when Nike got involved with skateboarding, you know, Reebok or Red Bull, excuse me, like they're doing a lot of stuff in that atmosphere. And now it's, I mean, people are making mad money.
Mad money.
But Tony Hawk kind of got skateboarding out there.
Right.
Right. He was the one that kind of made it popular, I guess, for the younger generation. And then sponsors came in, and then that's when really blows up a sport because they can put a lot of money behind it.
And so how are you going to relate this to Frisbee?
So what I'm trying to say is one thing we haven't really done is made our sport in a way that a sponsor would want to come in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Because Ultimate Frisbee, for people that don't know, is basically takes place on a football field. Yep. It's very similar to American football.
Yep, 7-on-7.
Okay.
You throw the Frisbee to your teammate. Once you catch it, you can't run.
And it's not televised.
We have okay. A couple of our national championship tournaments and stuff have been on like ESPN2.
Okay.
A lot of it's been on ESPN3.
I would fucking love to watch that.
Here's the thing. It's exciting when you play it the right way, if that makes sense. You got to package it the right way for it to be exciting.
So, but you said today someone came up to you and said, "Hey, you're so give people a little bit of backstory,
sure, yeah,
Brody.
Yeah.
You and I are out here in Vegas. We're in a putting competition.
We're grinding.
We've been grinding all weekend on the strip. Scratch TV put us together to take part in the major series of putting. And, you know, without we may or may not do amazingly. We're in the middle. We've done well.
We're right on the cut.
Yeah.
For how we performed on the first day, we did really well.
Yeah. We picked it up, we bootstrapped it, and we're making lemons out of lemonade, or vice versa, whatever you want to call it. And
we're filming too at the same time. You gotta take that. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you feel this in the golf world, but
I do.
For me, 100%, if I'm out golfing with a group of people and we're not filming at all, you play so much better.
Yeah. Because you can focus.
Yeah. Thinking about, hey, we got to get this B-roll shot. Hey, we got to do this. Oh, the battery died. It's hard to golf and film.
It is.
And I think we're experiencing a little bit of that right now is having to do, you know, some of this stuff in between.
It's hard to putt and act.
That's true. That is that. Well, it's hard to act in general. I'm a terrible actor.
I'm not a good actor.
That's why I have.
You're a good actor.
I kind of just play myself.
You are. Well, I mean, you know, so does Jason Bateman.
He just plays the same.
Yeah, a lot of actors do that, though. I think Kevin Hart, you know, he just plays himself. He's
So myself. So since I haven't gotten any acting gigs, you would say myself is just not.
People aren't interested in you.
They're not interested in me being.
take it very personally.
Okay.
No, but so what? You know, we're on the 17th floor here of a hotel, looking out on a great view. But
what golf course is that, by the way?
Is that the wind? That's the wind.
That is it? Oh.
So
that was not like a setup segue at all.
That was not acting.
That was legit. Because I was like, wait, that's...
The reason why Brody's saying it's a setup is because I've been trying to talk him into joining me. Because the Wynn is closed. Mm-hmm. It is closed for business. You cannot play golf there. But I have never played there, and neither has the gentleman sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, geez, since there's grass on it, and they're clearly cutting it...
Dude, it's also like... Not gonna lie, 5-minute walk.
If we jumped out the window, we might be able to get there.
Yeah, if you get a little, like if you got a little flappy biceps, you could glide a little bit over this building.
So I've been trying to talk Brody this whole weekend into sneaking onto the Wynn at night.
Dude, I might be definitely on now. I was like on the fence a little bit about it, but I might definitely be on because that looks nice.
It was a $500 or $600 round.
Really?
Back when it was operational. But like I said, I never played it. There's a waterfall. Can you see the waterfall all the way over?
I was going to say, is that part of the golf course?
That's part of the course, man.
Man.
So my thought is, I think there is ample opportunity to sneak onto this 90-100 acre property.
Oh, yeah. It's massive.
And I can't imagine they're going to have cameras on there or heat seeking. Why would they have any cameras on?
Do most golf courses have cameras?
None.
You think?
None.
No.
But I'm just thinking, if it's Vegas and if somewhere deep down inside there's like maybe they have the vault under one of the holes.
That'd be cool.
That would be shocking.
That'd be sweet.
I'm thinking it's like Ocean's 18.
They're like doing the I don't know what that's called, but the fairways are like downgrade and upgrade. What is that called when they're like checkered?
They call them black and white. Oh,
you see what I'm talking about over
there? That's the stripe. I don't know. That's just stripes.
That's nice. That's how you know it's a nice course.
Yeah,
if you see that, you're like, dang, I'm on a nice course.
I love when they stripe them.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're over here looking at the Wynn, and there's a small chance that when we end this podcast and the sun goes down, Brody Smith, myself, Colton Edler, and maybe some other
randos
cast of characters are going to take part in a real enactment of Ocean's 18.
golf course style.
Which is going to be when we break onto the Wynn golf course and hopefully don't get detained again.
That's awesome.
Now,
but wait, have you gotten detained before?
Not in America.
Okay, cool.
No. Right. But and when it was in Japan, it wasn't for sneaking onto private property.
Okay.
Now, all right, cool. I mean, this is all in good fun.
I kind of try to stay away from law enforcement as long as possible.
Honestly, I think the truth is, you being the most athletic, you'd probably be the last one caught.
3 knee surgeries, not as fast as
right.
I used to be.
So, and the knee surgeries is going to bring us full circle.
Look at these segues we got.
This is really good.
My first podcast, I'm doing pretty decent.
You're nailing it, dude.
All right. I'll take it.
You're handsome, you're athletic, you're smart. It's like literally stay. Luckily, you're engaged. Otherwise, I would need to just separate from you anytime a female was in the room. But no, what I heard today was when we were out, you get recognized a lot. You're obviously very well known from social media, YouTube, whatever. Someone said, you're Brody, you're the Frisbee guy,
yeah.
Which probably makes you roll your eyes a little bit, or what, do you care?
No, I mean...
You're the Frisbee guy.
Wait, I'm a rat, like... Oh!
The food's here, Snowball.
Oh, Snowball's feeling
Snowball's
it. Dude, that's
jumping.
Like a nice little prance
He's
action.
Prancing towards the door. So before we take a break to eat the food, I just want to button up one thing.
Okay, button up.
Someone came up to you and said, you're Brody, you're the Frisbee guy.
Yeah.
And you said, yeah, not really anymore.
Yeah, so are you saying, like, do I not like – because, like, do people come up to you and be like, hey, you're the Adventures of Golf guy?
I love when anyone comes up to me unless they ask me for money. Well, I don't even mind that so much. It's more if they come up to me and – usually I don't mind anyone coming up to me.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either. I think, too, a lot of the people that have followed me, I've gotten really, really lucky with, like, the fan base I've created because they're all very cool dudes.
Yeah.
I've been around other people where you get the 12-year-old, 14-year-old girls flying at you trying to get a selfie and then they run away.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that come up to me have stories. They want to talk to me. They started the high school Frisbee team because of my videos.
Awesome.
Or, you get like conversations.
Meaningful.
With people. And I'm sure you get the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's so much better than someone just running at you and shoving a phone in your face.
Yeah, you become like an ATM machine.
Yeah, so I don't mind it at all. And you even get people, I'm sure you get this too, where people are like, oh, hey man, I think I saw you at blah blah, but I didn't want to bother you. It seemed like you and your girlfriend or fiance now, but you and whoever you're with, I didn't want to bother you. And it's like, you just respond like, dude, just come up and say what's up, man.
Just say what's up.
Yeah,
I'm a guy.
It's not a big deal.
That's not so much what my question was.
You're the Frisbee guy.
My question is more about your transition out of Frisbee world.
Okay, yeah.
That's
so,
true, right?
Yeah, so I did Ultimate Frisbee for 10 years.
Right.
I played professionally for every year I could, basically. And traveled all around the world competing and teaching and loved it.
Teaching Frisbee.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah, I love it. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do. And I'll still do that. I'll still go to, wherever. I know, like, the last one was probably in Nashville or Knoxville. I can't remember where I was.
Awesome.
But I just tweeted out I was somewhere, and someone's like, hey, our college team has a practice tonight. You want to come out?
So Brody Smith shows up.
Yeah, I show up and I'll run your practice, dude.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, of course. And I love, that's the part I love the most, is just watching kids that – fell in love with a sport that I love and then just helping them as much as possible.
Right.
Because that's one thing. I mean, golf, there's tons of magazines, tons of YouTube videos. Everyone thinks they know the answer to golf, right? It's not like you're having a hard time finding someone to help you.
Right.
Frisbee, it's really tough. There's a lot of kids out there that are playing on a team where no one really knows what they're supposed to be doing.
Right, right.
And so anytime I have a chance to come out and kind of help a team, help a player, whatever, I'm always there for them. So,
dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Our food just arrived, so we're going to eat lunch. But I do just want to, before we take this break and go to a couple ads, and then
I was going to say, is this commercial break?
It's a quick little commercial break.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. The ads are dynamically inserted, Brody.
Oh, very cool.
So what that means is it's painless.
Okay.
But it's effective.
Oh, I like it. Okay, very nice.
But now what it means is we'll be right back, but I just want people to know at home is that, you've gone from Frisbee and then your transition is now full-time golf.
Yeah.
And
straight grinding.
Grinding on the golf.
As much as I can. Yeah, I'm taking lessons with Cameron McCormick, which is pretty dope.
Cameron McCormick, if you don't know, is blank blanks.
Yeah, wait. How do people not know who that is?
Some people don't know, Brody.
I mean, listen to your podcast, they don't know who Cameron McCormick is?
Well, here's the thing. It's my podcast.
Yeah, what is your audience
I believe that the audience on my podcast is made up a lot of different types of people.
Okay.
And I think one of the largest contingents are two. One is people that have loved golf for a long time and taken a break and now are finding a renewed sense of love for the game and probably go out and play 12 holes in the afternoon. Maybe don't watch PGA Tour every weekend.
Okay.
You know, this is not the PGA Tour podcast, right? Yeah. Those are other people that do that, and they for do sure. it great. And then the other group is people who are just starting to get into golf that have no idea about it. So I try to make sure that we're only as fast as our slowest member.
I like that.
And so for those men and women out there listening who don't know who Cameron McCormick is, you know, he's Jordan Spieth's swing coach.
Yeah.
And so, fuck, sorry. And so,
all right. It's your podcast. You can do whatever you want.
Well, I don't know. I just want to play at your speed.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I don't know. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Take care. All right, everybody, got a read here from Ben Hogan Golf. When legendary golfer Ben Hogan founded his equipment brand in 1953, he proclaimed his products would offer, quote, the best performing design, the best feel for contacting the golf ball, and the best eye appeal. I like that, eye appeal. Today, 65 years later, the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company remains committed to delivering a superior product line. And thanks to a unique factory direct business model, Ben Hogan handcrafted, custom made forged irons, wedges, hybrids, and utility clubs are available for hundreds of dollars less than golfers would pay for competitive products through traditional retail stores. Backed by risk free demo and trade in programs, golfers can enjoy best in class golf equipment, including the acclaimed Fort Worth black and white irons, edge irons, or the popular Equalizer wedges, all developed and manufactured using Mr. Hogan's proprietary club building process. That's right, tour quality custom Ben Hogan golf clubs for a fraction of what competitive products would cost at retail. Don't pay unnecessary middleman markup. Visit benhogangolf.com and use the discount code ERIC for 10% off your order. Visit benhogangolf.com and play with the quality and craftsmanship that Ben Hogan Golf Equipment is famous for. That's benhogangolf.com, discount code ERIC, E-R-I-K, for 10% off your order. Check them out.
Yo, Adidas golf shoes, y'all. I've worn lots of shoes since I started playing golf 7 years ago, but I haven't found anything that matches Adidas. It's actually very true. Boost, all capitals, folks, B-O-O-S-D. Boost is the best cushioning in the game, and they test all their shoes so that you get the stability you need for the swing that you want, or whatever. Whether it's the Tour 360, which is all around a great shoe, or the Adicross Bounce, that's what I like. I typically wear, I like the Adipure, y'all, because they're classy as fuck. And I also like the cross-knit Boost, y'all. It's an older model, but they look kind of fly. Everyone thinks I'm wearing running shoes on the course, but no, I've got stability and I've got little nubs to keep me in check when I over-rotate with the big stick. Everything that they make is so versatile and comfortable, but most importantly, they're all built to perform on the course. Visit adidas.com and click on the golf section or visit your local retailer. Maybe just go online, y'all. Who wants to go to a local retailer? Let's face it. To find the pair that's right for you, you can also follow Adidas Golf on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook for all the latest news and releases. Check it out. All right, everybody, get into Clublender. Taking a trip and don't want to lug your clubs? I don't. Clublender's got you covered. Actually, I don't mind because I get free bags, but if you don't get free bags, stop getting fucked. If you like to travel light and get out of the airport fast, next time rent premium clubs from Clublender instead of bringing your own. No one looks cool dragging a bag of clubs through an airport. That's actually very true. I always feel like I have some dead bodies in there. And who wants to pay the airline an extra baggage fee? I would not. I would not do it if I didn't get it for free. They haven't got enough. They haven't got enough of your money already? You jicks. Give me my money back. Visit clublender.com. Select the set you want from among Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, and PXG. And select your dates. Yeah, I want some dates. Whether the Majul dates, whatever. Clublender will deliver them in a vessel bag. Oh, that vessel bags are actually pretty chill. The day before your round to any hotel or course, home or office in California, Utah, Nevada, or Arizona. Did you hear that? California, Utah, Nevada, or Arizona. If you want to rent anywhere else in the U.S., give them a call or chat with them online, and they'll try to set you up with clubs. They have lefty and righty, stiff and regular, men's and women's. I don't know. I might just fucking switch it up and go with left-handed regular flex women's clubs and just see what happens. Better yet, the clubs come with tees, a divot repair tool, a ball marker, and a wet, hot, almond-scented towel. I'm just kidding. It's a regular towel. If you need a rangefinder, a glove, or balls, they can send them along too. Jeez, this is a fucking one-stop shop. Prices start at $65 a day for the first day, $20 each additional day, less than most airlines charge for that extra bag. True facts. And there's no waiting around with that oversized baggage area. Yo, that's true. The oversized baggage area sucks. Get ready for the code, y'all. Use Eric Lang as a coupon code at clublender.com to get 10% off your first rental from Clublender. It's E-R-I-K-L-A-N-G. Eric Lang is the code. Own the experience, not the clubs. Clublender. All right, that's a pretty good ad.
Right. All right, we're back. So Brody is currently checking the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Whether or not we made the cut. So if we made the cut, that means we're going to go back to the major series of putting, and we're going to make some money
in like 45 minutes.
45 minutes, and then what we're going to do is we're going to take that money. We're going to commit to taking that money and doing something very stupid with it.
Yeah, black.
I don't know about black because that's one bet.
It's whatever. Oh, you're not even thinking going one bet.
I think we should just go. I think we should just hit the table.
So okay,
I think we should just play craps for as long as we can.
So here's the thing: if you want to do that, then we are looking at having a good time for an extended period of time.
I like that.
Versus trying to double up. That's the two plays. I'm fine with either.
You would put it all on black right away
if you're trying to make more money.
Yeah,
that's the best route. If you're going, like, if you're going for like. If you're thinking, hey, let's play $500 of craps and make a lot of money, yeah. I would say you're stupid.
I mean, craps could make – no, yeah, I am stupid.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's your best bet. Your best bet on making money in Vegas is literally just walking in, putting all of it on black or red, and then letting it fall.
I watched someone hit red three times and just double the other night, and then I lost $200 on blackjack.
Wait, they let it ride each time?
Each time.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, and you know who it was? It was Rainer. The guy we're working with.
No, it was
with.
Not. Yeah, the guy. Oh, my God.
And I was just like, okay, cool. So we're in the elevator on the way up, and you and I were talking a little bit about, you know, the world we live in. You work – your main source of income right now is, you know, social media, YouTube, Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's funny is we were walking through the lobby of the building, and I was noticing you're on your phone.
Yeah.
And I was noticing the funny thing where I was like, I was going to say something to you kind of just socially or whatever, like, oh, look at that. And I noticed you're on your phone, and I try to observe that when I know I'm assuming you're working. Because I have this thing where I'm at home and I've told anyone that comes in, I say, look, if I have my feet up and I'm looking at my phone, I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm not scrolling through Instagram.
No.
I'm not liking photos from my aunt.
Uh-oh.
I'm actually and that kind of interesting new version of work is an interesting grind. And you know, you shared a little bit about your experience with your mother and how it took her a minute to get used to it. Can you talk a little bit about like working on your phone?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a new experience for sure. It's one of those things that over time I had to get really good at, and I'm still pretty bad at it, but I'm trying to get better at shutting down. You know, saying
like putting the phone away,
like saying like I'm not doing anything past 8 o'clock work wise.
It's hard.
It's very difficult. I mean, there was times, especially, I mean, now that I'm in a serious relationship and stuff, it's a little bit different. But back when I was single, I mean, there was sometimes you would wake up at 8 o'clock and you would be constantly doing something until 10, 11, 12 at night.
Something in the palm of your fucking hand.
Yeah, you're constantly doing something. So
you're making me feel so bad about cursing, by the way.
No, why?
You didn't do anything. It's just me.
You shouldn't feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad.
It is what it is. Everyone has
You just
their
live
own...
that pure lifestyle, and I'm over
nah,
here
I mean,
like,
it is
I'm like
what
a
it
Teenage
is.
Mutant Ninja Turtle.
No, I mean, it is. I think everyone has their own way of expressing themselves. And,
right.
You know, for me, like, I've never felt the need to say.
You're right. That's why I feel bad, is because I know you're right.
Well, I'm not. It's
there's
not,
no
it's
need
not
to curse.
There's no right
I'm
or wrong.
I'm not
going to
curse for the rest of the podcast. How's that? I'm just going to really try.
Okay.
You go.
All right.
Keep
going. I just want to let everyone know there's no right or wrong, whether you're cursing or not cursing. It's just, you know, I think there might be some people out there that curse because they feel like they have to.
Well, no,
like comedians especially, you
some,
know,
well,
sometimes
Bill Burr is who got me into cursing.
Oh, really?
Because he
see, I love Bill Burr though.
Do you?
I think he's hilarious.
He is really good.
I think he's hilarious. Yeah.
Do you listen to his podcast?
Sometimes, yeah.
He's one of the people that inspired me to start a podcast.
Really?
Yeah, just because he's just so you can tell that like for him he enjoys it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he loves it.
Yeah,
and he's not like you know, 30 minutes before, like, what am I going to say today? You know, he's literally just like shows up, turns it on, and just starts whatever.
Yeah, he's whatever like, comes out, this is,
yeah, whatever comes out, that's what you get. Yeah. I think he's a great dude.
It's fun to watch his mind work. Yeah. I think that's what I like.
That is cool.
Okay, so back to before you were in a serious relationship.
Uh-huh. 8 o'clock. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really easy to spend a lot of time working. And obviously, I think in the social media world too, like, especially now because there's so many people trying to do it, like, you've got to grind to make it. You know, unless you just get lucky and you post something and a bunch of people follow you. But for right now, everyone's trying to do it. So if you're at home not working, there's hundreds of thousands of people out there doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I love to work, honestly. I mean, going back to, I worked a job at Subway.
Did you really?
Yeah. For like 4 or 5 years.
What was your favorite sandwich to make? Probably one that goes in the oven, right?
I like the, you can't even get it. It's not even on the menu. That's what you learn. You learn when you work there long enough, you learn like different things and you're like, dang, this is good. So you basically take the chicken breast.
All right. Hang on. If you're just tuning in.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm about to break down a dope sandwich for you.
If you're just tuning in, Brody Smith is about to drop the best sandwich at Subway that's not on the menu.
Yeah.
Go.
All right. So you take 2 chicken breasts. Okay. And you put salt and pepper and oregano on them, and you put those in the toaster.
Sick.
Okay. So you get those little, get the flavors and stuff. If you like peppers, you can cut up some green peppers and put those on there. Let the juices flow if you're feeling it. Then you take the Italian urban cheese bread, okay, slightly toasted.
Okay.
Then you throw down pepperoni, okay. Then you take a little bit of marinara from the meatballs, you throw that on top of the pepperoni, take the chicken breast out of the toaster, put it on top, provolone on top of that. Like lots of provolone,
right? Like
and some mozzarella.
Okay,
as well.
Wow, double cheese.
Yeah, double cheese. Throw that into the toaster. Let that go, and then whatever like veggies and stuff. I'm not much of a veggie guy.
No,
really, no, not much. If you want to put veggies on it, you can. But other than that, dude, it melts in your mouth and it's absolutely delicious.
And so, who would order this, and what would you call it? Or did you just make it?
I just made it.
You just came. You were like literally. You're like, I'm in here. It's dead.
Yeah.
I'm
you just
kind of.
Yeah.
You're a creator.
Yeah. And a lot of people. Honestly, there's a lot of people in there because the Subway we worked at, you got a free footlong sandwich for every 6 hours I think you worked.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you would dominate.
That's great.
And you know, I was eating like 2 footlongs every day. You're in college. It's free food.
So you're in college.
It's hard to beat.
You're at Subway. You cracked the Subway code. You know what the best sandwich is on earth. And then you're doing Frisbee.
Yeah.
And then at what point do you realize, hey, wait a minute, YouTube?
Yeah. So it was late one night, actually, where I was just on YouTube looking through Ultimate Frisbee videos. I wanted to see what they had. And essentially, there was 2 types of videos. There was the video of the stereotypical Ultimate Frisbee person, pot smoker, long hair, tie-dye shirt, you know, that type of dude that you would see in the park just throwing the Frisbee around.
Not necessarily an athlete.
No.
Right, right.
Not someone you look at and go, that guy can run sub-5 and a 40.
More Burning Man.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Okay, got it.
So you got a lot of those people on there.
We all know that stereotypes can mix, but what you're saying is the demographic wasn't you. You didn't see yourself reflected.
Correct.
And that's the whole point of YouTube.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like you want to show that, you know, I think a lot of people when they first thought of Ultimate Frisbee, they either thought like, where's your dog? Right? Because when you say Frisbee, you think of Frisbee dogs, right?
Yeah.
Or you think of like, oh, do you smoke weed?
Right.
Because that's, you know, unfortunately, that's a lot of what people did back in the 60s, 70s is threw the Frisbee around the park and smoke weed, I guess.
Right. It's like Ultimate Hacky Sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
Which would be cool, actually.
Yeah. That'd be really dope.
Snowball doesn't catch a Frisbee, so he won't
catch it. He could be a Hacky Sack. Could be a Hacky Sack dog.
Snowball could be a Hacky Sack.
He could.
Maybe when he dies, I'll turn his fur into the skin of a Hacky Sack.
I was going to say, because you're already turning his skull into a little candy dish. I remember you said that. Kelsey was super disturbed by that comment, by the way.
It's not for women, actually.
Kelsey was just like, was he being real about that?
I mean, you know, it's a joke.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's a joke. He's sitting behind you.
Maybe.
He's terrified of me.
Oh, is he?
Okay,
So there was those YouTube people. Yep. There was those people, and then there was people that literally had no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Like teaching the exact opposite of what you should do.
Right.
And so I was like, man, like
And you're 22 at the time, or?
Yeah, I'm like just out of college, basically. Okay. And I was like, I wanna have something on there to where if you're 15, 16, you're like, how do you throw a frisbee? For whatever reason, I don't know why you're searching that, but if you were searching that, I want to have a video on there of like, and I got lucky because the school I went to my freshman year, we had the best player in the country on our team.
Right.
And then my junior year, we had the best player in the country on my team.
Oh, wow.
So that was Tim Garrett and Kurt Gibson. And then our coach, Curto, I mean, he's a legend in the ultimate frisbee world of coaching. So I had like a lot of really good players in front of me teaching me. So it wasn't just like, oh, this is what I learned.
Right.
You know, this is the whatever. It's like these people are dope and they know what they're doing. Let me share that knowledge to the rest of kind of the world.
Right.
So that's how it started.
And it just started. Your first video was essentially
how to throw a backhand.
That's like so cool.
Like the most basic throw in frisbee.
You know, this is very similar to Rick Shields.
Yeah.
Rick Shields his first video was a how-to, and it was merely to get more lessons at where he taught. It wasn't to grow a YouTube business.
Yeah.
Because as you said, at the time, growing a YouTube business wasn't even an option.
It wasn't something that people were really doing.
No,
and it was very rare. And I honestly think like the people that are most successful are normally the people that follow something and do something that they're passionate about and love versus going into it going, holy crap, I can make a lot of money on YouTube.
Right.
Right?
The truth is you can't really make a lot of money off YouTube for the most part.
99.9% of people that make YouTube videos do not make a lot of money.
No. I mean, I'm kind of wondering how many YouTube accounts there are.
I mean, so I go to this thing every year for YouTube.
Because you have 2 million subscribers, so you are, you know, in this elite echelon of YouTubers.
I'm not even that high up. I used to be in the top 1,000 with like 1 million. I was in the top 1,000 channels ever.
Wow.
Right? ESPN up there, Jimmy Fallon, like all the big boys.
Hell yeah.
Now I don't even know if I'm in the top 10
right.
with 2 million.
Right.
That's how crazy it's grown. But there's some stat, and I'm sure one of your followers probably know it, where it's like X amount of hours are uploaded to YouTube every second.
Oh, it's
and it's like stupid.
It's like an hour a minute, I think.
It's stupid.
Something crazy, yeah.
Like so much content is being blasted out to YouTube every single second.
Right, and it's so much garbage, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a lot of garbage.
And like I said, it's a lot of people that want to try to make money, and they're not trying to make a good product. They just want to try to make money.
Well, and by the way, I feel cynical when I say a lot of garbage every minute, because I don't really feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I do feel, and in some sense, you need to make garbage in order to figure out what's good.
Correct.
You know, I think, God, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I mean, So at what point do you – so you get an email eventually from YouTube, and they say, hey, we want to put an ad on
your video. Yeah, so it was my first trick shot video.
Your first – so you had done how-to videos.
So I had done a bunch of how-to videos and blasted those out on Facebook to, like, the Facebook Frisbee page and blasted out to, like – we had a thing called RSD, which is Rec Sports Disc.
Okay.
And that was, like, the forum that everyone would, like, put, you know – tournament details or whatever, right?
This is like 2005.
This is like 2005, 2006.
So this is
2007.
This is like you don't have an iPhone.
No, I had a Go phone.
You might have an iPod, maybe.
Yeah, you might have an iPod.
You had the brick iPod.
What was the Nano, but like the one where it's like had 60 songs.
Okay, you had the Nano.
Whatever, like
the Micro.
Yeah, the mic, whatever they called it.
Steve Jobs was still alive.
He was still alive. He was still,
everything was great.
This is like 2006.
Right.
You know, this is like Tebow is about to come to Florida and dominate.
And at this point, is Brody Smith a well-known person in your industry?
In Ultimate Frisbee? Slowly.
So people come in and be like, yo.
My sophomore year, I made a huge jump. So freshman year, like the top teams and stuff knew who I was because we went 49-1 that year and won the national championship.
Okay.
And I was a starter.
Whoa.
And I was a starter on the offense.
49-1. How many teams were going with that kind of record?
No, I mean, the next best might have been like 5 or 6 losses.
Whoa.
Yeah, we did, and we lost 15-14, our only loss. We should have won that
game. You guys must have been a really tight team.
Yeah, we were solid.
That's were
really,
awesome.
And that made me even like go nuts into Ultimate Frisbee even more, being a part of that team, because I was just like, holy crap, let's do this again.
So team of 7, how many bench warmers you got?
We had a lot.
Okay.
So the
a lot of injuries, I'd imagine.
So the crazy thing, too, is we had – when I came in freshman year, was like a huge change, not because of me, but because of the captains. They said, we're not going to go – because a lot of Ultimate Frisbee tournaments were party. Like, people would party Saturday night. They're a two-day tournament, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday was like kind of placements, like to figure out where you're seated. And then Sunday was like a bracket format, essentially, right?
Oh, that's so unusual.
And teams would go out on Saturday night and party, get wasted, be hungover on Sunday, and play on Sunday.
Not Brody's team.
Well, I mean, not because of me, but a lot of the captains were like, yo, this year we're not going to be doing that. We're not going to be partying. We're going to have a coach. We're going to be doing track workouts, which was unprecedented at the time. Like, no one ran track workouts in Ultimate Frisbee.
So you guys are ahead of the curve as far as the demographic changing.
For Florida, yeah. Florida was a huge, huge kind of pioneer in the let's take this super serious and take it to the next level, I would say.
I love that.
Yeah, and so we actually ended up having like 7 starters from the previous year be like, yo, I don't want to do this. I'm out.
Really?
So 7, yeah, out of the 14 starters, 7 guys were like, I'm out. We're going to play on the B team. So you'd have the A team, which is varsity.
Because they didn't care about winning.
They wanted to have fun. They wanted to go, right. And that's fine.
Which is fine, yeah.
It's fine. And that's one thing I've always been like a huge advocate for is like every sport, if you think about basketball right now, right?
Yeah.
If you wanted to play basketball, there's so many different ways that you could play basketball. You could go and play pickup somewhere.
Right.
You could join a league, which might be a little more serious. You could try to make like an AAU team, or you could try to make a traveling team, which would be more serious. You could really, really try to play like overseas if you want to be more.
Right.
You know, you could play in the NBA if you really want, if you're good. Obviously, a lot of this has to be on skill. But like you could play barefoot basketball all the way up to where you're LeBron James.
Right.
Frisbee is one of those things where I still like think we could do a better job of splitting it, of having different levels of play, because there's been teams where I've played on where people are like, I'm just here to have fun. And it's like, you know what? Like, me too, but I want to win.
Yeah.
You know, so like you going out to the party and having fun and drinking and stuff, I get it. You want to have fun, but like you're kind of screwing me up because it's like, yo, I'm like on the track on Monday morning busting my butt to try to help this team win. And you're like doing that.
Yeah, you want to compete. You're playing a slightly different version of the same game.
And exactly. And you want everyone to be on that same playing field.
Well, and they have it with golf.
Yep.
And golf has it with, you know what? Time out. Colt, are you following the leaderboard of this putting competition? And perhaps are we about to make the cut and go make money?
Let's see where we're at.
I don't want to get carried away with.
Do we need to do a quick update?
Wonderful conversation.
Let's see here. Up overall.
Brody's online.
I'm always online, man.
Brody online.
All right, we're tied for 16th.
That's still good.
We're T16.
We've only dropped one spot.
We only dropped one spot.
Up 30 spots today.
Yeah, we moved 30 spots.
There's
to
someone at
today.
Minus. There's someone at minus 14. There's 2 teams at minus 14 that are probably going to get to 15. There's one at minus 13, but they're almost done. Another at minus 13, they're almost done.
Well, it looks like we're making the cut.
We might be making it. We'll keep an eyeball.
You know
on
what
this.
I can't wait to do? I can't wait to get out there and grind one last round.
Dude, just one. Give us like a little 5-minute. Hey, let's check the score.
Because we
might get deep in this.
We might get deep, and the thing is, we're gonna be at the bottom, so we're gonna be teeing off first. What? You might want to text Andrew Colt.
Yeah, do we have a little text key to be like, yo?
They just texted. Looking like the cut's going to get down to 18 or so. Unhappy face.
Minus 18? I don't know if that's accurate. Not for my. Not
no,
for
I think he means T18. I don't know if he understands. What is he saying? All right, enough of all this. Right. Enough of this sidetracking.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
You know, whatever. You launch a trick shot video. Fast forward. You launch a trick shot video after how many videos are on YouTube
already? So I probably did like 5 or 6 like tutorial videos that all got like 5,000 views and I was going nuts.
Which was great.
Yeah, I was going absolutely
huge
nuts.
For
I was like,
Brody.
Holy crap. Like 5,000 people are watching this. My goodness.
Right.
And then I upload this trick shot video, which was actually kind of an idea of some of the guys on my team.
Now, is this because trick shots have overtaken the internet, social media, in any sport? Where is this on that timeline?
This is like Johnny Football. This is like Dude Perfect just starting to like scratch the surface.
Whoa, dude.
This is like really, really early on where people are still like up in the air on how they feel about trick shots.
Really? People weren't always into it?
It was still like one of those things that was new that people I think were still trying to get like comfortable with.
Right.
And as far as like an entertainment kind of thing, because there was still like the very like, you know, this is fake. This is, you know, not real.
There were haters.
Yeah, you know, and so.
But Brody can't see the haters because he's 6'5". So
no, I see them every once in a while. So I posted so someone was like, yo, dude, and I was still living close to campus. They're like, hey, let's just like film, you know, some trick shots. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So for like a week straight, I would get off of work around like 5 o'clock And then we'd film for like an hour and a half before it got dark. And we did it for like 4 or 5 days. And we compiled enough shots to be like, yeah, I think we can post a video. Threw it up on YouTube. It got on some random like, this was back like, I don't know if you remember, like when Yahoo was like massive.
Oh, yeah.
And like people, if you got on like the Yahoo homepage,
right,
you blew up.
Right.
So I didn't get on US Yahoo homepage. I got on like if you were in Asia.
Whoa.
Yahoo homepage.
That's interesting.
And so we hit like 400,000 views in the first week.
When and you were like, what?
When like my other views, my other videos were like 5.
Right.
So I'm just like, what is going on right now? So I get an email from YouTube being like, hey, we want to throw ads on your video. And I was like, wait, I can make money off of this? And then that's kind of just spiraled to me just being like, heck, okay. And so after that summer, I think I made the decision to stay because I was going to go back up to Maine. I've worked at summer camps like my whole life. I love summer camps.
Like a counselor?
Yeah. So I was at YMCA counselor for like 6 years. And then I went up to Maine at this like, you know, if you got money, you send your kid to this camp.
Right.
You know,
right,
kids are like on horsebacks and, you know, they're on a brand new boat.
Amazing.
All that stuff. Right. So I went up there and taught tennis, which was awesome a summer. And I was planning on going back the next summer. But YouTube started like happening, right?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if I can go take 3 months off. Aww. Of doing this summer camp.
That makes me sad to think about that.
And so I was trying to work it out with the camp to be like, right, hey, can I still like kind of film videos on my off time so I can still post? Yada, yada, yada. It didn't work out.
Aww.
And so I was
like, I feel like you would have been a great counselor.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to do this YouTube thing and just see what happens. And
good
so I that's when I kind of made the decision to go full time and was bill by bill, or how do people say it?
Brick by brick?
No. When you're like barely making it, you're just like barely paying your bills.
Oh,
month by month?
Month by month?
Whatever the saying is, that's what I was. Where like
you were so poor, you don't even know what the saying was.
Yeah, like my buddy would go to McDonald's and bring me back a double cheese for dinner. And
right.
I'd be like, dude, thanks so much, man.
Right.
Like I was not making enough money to like really pay my bills, but I loved what I was doing and I thought I had a potential of one day like doing something great.
And you saw something.
Yeah.
You saw a glimpse of something and you're like, wait a minute, I could crush.
Yeah.
And did anyone help you along the way? Like, did you have any
tons.
Mentors that are like, did anyone give you any significant advice or help or a hand?
Yeah, YouTube's weird now. Like YouTube back in the day, like everyone viewed each other as like a part of a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because it was such a smaller group. And so you would reach out to someone. They'd be like, heck yeah, let's do a video. Or heck yeah, this is how you do this or whatever. And now
it was
like
a collaboration, wasn't like a corporate engineer
thing. Correct.
Where
now it's like you hit up someone and you're like, hey, you want to do a video? And they're like, oh, you only have 1 million subscribers? No, I'm not doing a video with you. Like, get away from me, peasant. Like,
ouch.
Yeah, where I've always been like, if you have talent, if you're cool, I'll do a video with you even if you have 1,000 subscribers,
yeah.
50. I don't care.
Well, and this brings me to the point of how we first actually met digitally. You mm-hmm. put out a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never on Twitter, so I didn't really see it.
Yeah.
But you said, who should I collab with?
Heck yeah.
Someone tagged me.
Mm-hmm.
I checked into Twitter like a week later, and I was like, oh, who's this guy Brody?
Yeah.
And we actually went back and forth a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. For me, it's always – when you're not in the same place, it's hard to schedule something. So I'm just like,
100%.
Hit me up if you're here.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm starting to do a little bit better job of like, especially with the golf situation, how like I just love it and I want to play different courses all over the place, which I'm sure you're the same way.
Yes.
Of where it's like, all right, I'm going to fly here and film this video and do it with this person. You know, where like back in the day, it was kind of like you were saying like, yo, hit me up if you're in my area.
Yeah.
Where now I'm a little bit more eager to be like, yeah, let's freaking go to this place and do this and film this and whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's always nice when you find those people. I have a lot of people on social media that I absolutely love, good friends with, and like just people that you can just hit up and be like, yo, I have a question about this. And they're like, yeah, no worries. And then there's a lot of people though that they just view you as competition and they just, I don't know. It's a weird vibe.
Even in just a few days, we spent the weekend together, right?
Uh-huh.
Mostly working, but even just in little bits and bops, like, you know, Rick Shields was very helpful to me when I spent time with him over the summer at a time when I didn't even know that I was going to be really
to some extent, even making my own videos or trying to use YouTube.
Yeah, because at that platform. Time you were strictly like in every other like other people's videos, right?
Yeah, well, and I would do Adventures in Golf for someone else's YouTube
your
channel.
Your host for someone yeah. else's stuff.
Well, I would produce Adventures in Golf and create it. It was my idea, but
it didn't it live would, on your.
Yeah, platform. I had no. I got a car, but no car wash. Is that a? That's yeah. not a good analogy.
No, it makes sense though. I know what you're trying to say.
Now I've got a car wash.
Yeah. It's nice.
And it's a
it's nice. It's a nice car wash.
But even this weekend, it's been really cool to talk with you about that. Because, I mean, I don't see this competition. Like it's just like we're both kind of interested in the same things.
Yeah.
That's
and,
all it is.
And the thing is if you really think about it, like business-wise, YouTube's a little bit different than, let's say, Apple versus Motorola or Apple versus, I guess, Android. Is Android a company or is that just a type of phone?
I think Android is kind of like a generic name Samsung. For a group. Yeah, Samsung.
Samsung versus Apple, yeah. right? Those are two people that don't like each other, right? They're not going to be playing together at the park.
Right.
Where I view YouTube where it's like you might be at the park doing something and I'm doing the same thing and we're bringing people together.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I really like what this guy's doing. And then they come over and they see me because they're like, oh, they kind of do the same thing. They might like me as well.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, that's how I view YouTube is it's like, it's not a competition. It's like if someone's doing something, the golf, right? Golf's not really that big on social media.
Not really, strangely.
To be fair, I did a video with the Bryan Bros. I don't know if you've Great done guys. Anything with them. Yeah. But I did a video with them like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was a great video. It was like a dope golf trick shot video. In the sense of like how my Frisbee videos did, it did terrible as far as like reach went. And even talking with like the dudes, because Do Perfect Good Friends with them, talking with them, like everyone kind of knows like golf, like back in the day, like golf was kind of like not good on YouTube. You Whoa. Post anything golf, it didn't do that well.
Good night.
And so
because Dude Perfect did a very well known golf video, or it was a golf inclusive.
Well, they started doing it was
all sports golf.
It was the all sports golf, yeah. right? Which is kind of a little bit different than an actual like golf video. But there's so many other people starting to do more golf content on YouTube in yeah. a way that's entertaining.
Yeah,
and to Thank me, you. Yeah, and to me, it's like. You're getting people into that, and then they might see the video that you collaborated with or right. whatever it might be, and then they might be – at the end of the day, people are going to watch your stuff if it's entertaining and if they like who yeah. you are.
Well, it's funny because you bring up the Rick Shields thing, and some people have commented on the fact that – you know, Rick Shields and I invited Rick Shields to Isle of Man. I was going. I said, Rick, you should come to Isle of Man, and we should hang. I'd like to make a video with you. I wasn't thinking about it. All I really wanted to do is do a podcast with him, and I wanted to do a quick video of, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
We had met – at Augusta briefly.
Okay.
And he shows up and he's got these guys with him with a camera crew. And I was like, oh shit, Shields is shooting
this
video.
Is like legit.
And I was like, this is cool.
Okay.
And so what's funny is like we both made videos that
at
are completely different.
At the same place at the same time.
Yeah. And there was yeah. no biting of the story. There was no pizza not split evenly. And it was funny because people commenting now that I released my first video of Rick, people are saying, oh, it's so cool to see two different versions of the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's really – YouTube is a great author place.
Yeah, and I've also done videos with people where we literally post the same video.
Well, I saw it with Golfholics. Right? I was going to ask you about yeah. that.
Yeah, so we did – so the thing
Golfholics that, has been on the pod, and we played golf together at Wilson.
So the way we did it is we did like one on the first part was on their channel, second right. part was on my channel, third Whoa. Part was on their channel.
That's interesting.
So that's kind of a good way of like, you know, if you want to come watch the third part, or if let's say you follow me right and you don't know who the Golfholics are,
right,
you see part two, you're probably gonna think like, where's part one? Especially if you like the video, yeah. right? Like, where's part one?
Yeah.
So it's a good way of balancing people over.
Right.
But I've also done stuff where we literally post the same exact video.
Whoa.
And the reason for that is you kind of just want the, you know, for certain videos, it makes sense.
Right.
And I think maybe YouTube's a little bit different now, but you always want, I always think it's a good idea if you're going to do a collaboration with someone to do, like you said, a video on each channel.
Right, right.
Right.
And do different videos.
Do different videos and you have and it shows off like the flair. And also it's like if I really like you, for example, right? And
you want to see my version of you.
If you
collaborate your version of
yeah,
me.
Yeah. And if you collaborate with someone and yeah. I go to their channel and it's all them.
Right.
But I'm a fan of you, it might be tougher for me to subscribe or follow that
Interesting.
Person. Where if you have a video with that guy,
yes.
and that's the first video up. I'm going to watch it and I have like, oh man, okay, this guy's actually really legit.
And it's a bit more authentic that way.
Yeah.
So real quick, let's switch gears. Well, I still want to talk about social media and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where's the leaderboard at?
Yeah, we're just looking.
Major series of putting is really.
T18.
We're now T18. We're sliding, but we're not out.
T19 now.
T19. Ooh, that's. But by the way, all we need to do is stay T20. And these rounds are almost done.
Yeah, I mean, there's someone that's minus 13 with three holes left.
Okay. This is getting intense, guys.
It's going to be tough.
We're going to need to jump in a chopper to get there on time.
It's going
to
be tough.
By the way, all right.
But it's possible. It's still actually possible.
It's still possible.
It's actually sneaky possible.
Real quick. So, yeah. So social media. How do you deal? Well, no, you know what? Fuck it. We kind of went into that. I was going to talk about addiction. How is social media addictive? But okay. I mean, I think you kind of answered that.
Yeah. I mean, I think here's the thing. As soon as I retire, right, which is not anytime soon, but as soon as I'm like, I'm done doing all the stuff that I'm doing right now and I'm just living my life, raising my kids, right? I'm going to probably not be on social media.
You're just going to dump it. You're going to dump Instagram.
I probably won't like delete it, but I'm not going
to
be on it.
Are you going to a farm with a bunch of dogs?
I don't think Kelsey would be down for that. but no, what I'm saying is like, there's like what you're saying is like when you see us on the phone, we're working.
Yeah.
Right. Where I think there are a lot of people though that like come home at night and they just sit on Facebook.
It's tough.
Or YouTube or whatever they are. And they're just consuming.
Yeah.
Constantly. And you can get in that trap. It's easy.
Do you think this is great? Because it takes me to the next subject is your newfound love with golf. Do you think to some extent, golf kind of, so when I'm not on the phone, one of the things, my favorite things to do is literally just sit and do nothing. Yeah. Like when it rains in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. I put everything
Which
down.
Is super rare.
It's super rare, but I think it's so beautiful. And I just look out the window and I just love watching the rain come down.
Okay.
I don't know what, and it's just so peaceful to me. And I like, you know, I've got this new thing on the phone, the Screen Time app, and I try to turn off the phone at like 8 or 9 or something, and just like give myself 2 hours of no phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, does golf sort of satisfy that for you? Is that kind of one of the reasons why golf is in your life, or is it more like is it kind of both? Because for me, it's a business thing as well.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of the two. I mean, I love every golf course is a little bit different. And you're like out in nature the entire time, right? Obviously you're going to play some golf courses that aren't maybe as nice as others. And you're like in apartment complexes and stuff like that. But a lot of the golf courses, like I just played up in Galloway up in, I think, Jersey, Atlantic City up in that area.
Yeah.
And you're like right on the waterway. You're just like deep in this like forest and, you know, I don't know if it was bobcats. That was a different course, but there's like nature all around you. Basically, right. And you kind of can get lost in it. One of my favorite things doing growing up is every Thanksgiving we went to the very beginning of the Appalachian Trail. It was
Georgia.
It was a hike in, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was the very beginning. You would park your car and you have to hike in 5 miles to get to this spot. And whatever you bring in, you have to take out with you.
Right.
So you're bringing like one pair of an extra pair of clothes and maybe a book or something like that. No, you don't have any service. There's no electronics, nothing like that. And you just hang out this place for like 3 nights. And there's they have nothing, right? There's just books, puzzles. I think they have horseshoe out in the back. But it's like you just are talking to hikers that are starting the trail or just ended. You're talking to other families, just spending time, you know, getting to know other people, and you have like no electronics.
Right.
And it's like the best.
That's awesome.
It's so good for your brain and like just your body. And like you leave that place and you're just like, you feel so, I don't know, you just get so much better sleep.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people leave their phone on at night. And it's like, I know when I sometimes forget to turn my phone off before I fall asleep, like you have this weird sense of like, is someone going to call me? Is someone going to text me?
Yeah.
Did someone tweet something that I should know and like tweet out?
Right.
Like, luckily, I think you're the same way. We're not the type of social media people that we have to know what's going on
right.
to stay like, that's not our business, right? Yeah. So I don't know how those people operate.
It's a lot.
Where if something breaks at like 10 o'clock, they need to like tweet about it.
No, news is tough.
Yeah. Those type of people, I don't know how they do it.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about, to go back to like golf, like, you know, the experience of playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
All right, check on the.
We're still T19, man. T19. We're still in it.
Dang, man. That is close.
We are still in it. And this team's minus 14 on 17, so they're not going to pass us.
They could tie us. That's it.
It was just fine. This one team's minus 14 on through seven. They'll probably pass us. Dude, we might be in the clear.
Major series of putting, just to give you a quick overview of what it is.
Give a little breakdown.
18 holes of putting on a practice green at Legacy Golf Course. The longest hole is like 40 feet. Some of them are as small as 10. And, you know, but they're tricky. There's all a little break. There's grain. The green speed is changing as the day gets hotter, as the grass grows. It's really tricky.
And you got, I mean, it's really weird, too, because you're playing with people all around you.
All around. And so you're always in someone's line or in someone's shadow.
Yeah.
You're wearing sneakers.
Yeah. You're wearing sneakers. I kind of almost thought about bringing a glove because I always putt with a glove in my back pocket.
Whoa, you're a guy that putts with a glove on?
No.
Oh, in your back pocket.
Yeah.
For the balance.
Well, I was just thinking, like, it's like mentally, like, I always have that little glove back.
It's impressive.
There, you know, if I ever get good enough at golf, you know, you might have the, what do you have? The, what do they call that?
I don't know.
With all the
scorecard? Scorecard holder?
No, but if you're actually really, really good at golf, it's not a scorecard because you actually have, like, all the
yardage
info.
Yardage book. Gangster.
Yeah, that's when you know you're good.
So I love that you just started golf and you're getting really serious about it. I guess I was wondering, you know, one of my first questions I asked people when I first got into golf 7-8 years ago for myself was because I found golf to be quite a spiritual game early on. And I found meditation to be a big part of the game for me. And then one of the first experiences I ever had with professional golfers was on the Champions Tour. And so I think I already told you this story yesterday. We were talking about it. But for the people who weren't with Brody and I yesterday when we were totally alone, I was telling you about how I went down to the Champions Tour and I started asking these professional golfers, you know, older gentlemen, if they thought golf was a spiritual game. And I went and I spoke with Bernard Langer, Tom Lehman, Nick Price, and a big handful of really nice guys. And the most direct answer was Bernard Langer. And Bernard Langer said to me, yeah, absolutely, it's a spiritual game, and I actually found myself performing a lot better once I stopped playing for myself and started playing for Jesus. And I was like, whoa, that's really interesting. Tell me more. So we talked for a while, and then I started talking to a guy named Tom Randall. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He was caddying for somebody else whose caddy had just passed away. It was a sad story. But anyway, Tom and I became good friends, and I didn't know anything. But he did. He said, look, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, I don't know. It was Friday night. I was going to hang. And he's like, come by the hotel, meet us in the Eisenhower lobby, in the Eisenhower room, and we're going to have a prayer group. And you're welcome to join. Don't bring your camera.
Yeah.
And so I went, and it was basically church on a Friday night, and everybody was in there. Bernard Langer, like I said, Tom Kite, Tom Lehman. You know, just I mean, and I can't remember, but I mean, this was very
tons of people.
This was my first shoot for the movie Be the Ball that is not out yet that a lot of people were ask about. Where can I see Be the Ball? You can't see it unless I'll send you a link, but no one else can see it. But it gets you excited to play golf on a competitive level. It's all these pro golfers use meditation. Anyway, you're a Christian. That's where you spend a lot of your you know, time on Sundays, I'm assuming, or Friday night. I don't know. What do you do?
Well, we have a thing on Tuesdays as well.
Tuesdays, right.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to get at if you experience golf in a spiritual way, being you know, a person of your faith, how do you see a connection?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have a faith, like everything you do should be spiritual in a way, right? And I think when you kind of you know, being a Christian, it really is one of those things, like Bernard said, like it's you're no longer doing things for yourself, you're doing things for a higher power, right? And when you take that mindset, when you kind of change that, it really makes it to where, man, life becomes so much easier. It really does, because you know, as humans, we all have our faults, and we have, you know, we all are going to sin and make mistakes. And when you're constantly like trying to be perfect, when we're not a perfect species, it's going to be tough, and you're going to, you know, run into a lot of roadblocks.
Right.
And when you kind of open up and free your mind and be like, hey, I'm going to make a mistake, but I have, you know, a savior that loves me, and no matter what I do, you know, he's going to love me. I mean, it's almost like if you, you know, for people that don't have a faith, it's similar to like the love that you get from your parents.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of concept of where, you know, when you do bad in school or you make a mistake, like what's the best thing to do? It's come home to your family and them tell you it's going to be okay.
Right.
You know, and so when you go out into that big world and your parents really might not be there anymore, it gets really hard if you're constantly just trying to be perfect and do everything yourself.
Does this, you had mentioned a little bit, to go more personal, does this have anything to do with how you grew up? You said you had a sort of unusual upbringing.
Yeah, so, well, I grew up, it was you know, not probably the ideal situation for a kid. You know, my mom and dad got divorced at a very, very young age. I actually have no memory of my mom and dad being together.
Well,
yeah.
Do you communicate with your father?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my mom got remarried. And they got divorced, I think, my freshman year in high school.
Okay.
And had to kind of go through that situation. And that wasn't a good divorce. The first one, I don't really know.
Right.
You know, because I was literally so young. The second one, I was old enough to know it wasn't good. And having to see that. And I was raised, we kind of bounced around a lot of churches, honestly. We went to a Presbyterian church for a little bit, Episcopal church. And then kind of ended up in a Catholic church.
Hmm.
And then it wasn't until, and I think this is for everyone, you kind of have to find your own way.
Yeah.
Right. You can't just have someone tell you like, hey, this is how it is. And you know, you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I believe that. I'm going to go to church.
Right.
Like everyone has to find their own way. And it wasn't until really when I went to college that I actually kind of found that.
Right.
Right. When I kind of hit rock bottom by myself, that's when I was like, holy crap. Like, there's got to be something bigger than just me, you know?
I think that's a common experience around that age.
Yeah.
For a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
right? Is you're just like, this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it included drugs, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff. And that's kind of why I don't drink. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
You kind of have a choice, right? Everyone has a choice at like a certain moment in their life to be like, I want to go this path or I want to take this path.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really pivotal to hopefully take the better path. And because I think if you do choose the better path, it leads to a better life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I guess it depends on where you're at. Like,
It's a tough, I mean, it's one of those, it's a really, really interesting thing. And it's a really interesting concept too, just religion in general.
Mm.
Like, you can get sucked down the wormhole and talking about that for a real long time.
Right.
And for me, like, I'm never going to be someone that, like, pushes my religion or anything like
that. You don't
anyone.
Seem like that kind of guy.
No, and I don't think that's something that you should. I think one thing that really, really helped me and one thing that led me to living a Christian lifestyle was actually looking at other people and seeing them, like, why is that guy always happy? Why is that guy always smiling?
Whoa.
Why is that guy always nice to me? You know, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then, like, asking those questions and getting to know those people. I think that's something that maybe, you know, gives, like I said, the bad stereotype to religious people maybe sometimes is there are people out there on, you know, with signs yelling at you, you're going to go to hell and all that stuff.
That's tough to hear.
It's not normally a thing of like, oh, okay, maybe I should listen to this guy.
Right.
I think if everyone just continued to, like, live their life, and if you're a Christian, you know, for the most part, from what I've seen, you know, if you're really following Jesus Christ, your life's going to be pretty good. Like, you're going to enjoy life. And I think that, like, it kind of has, like, an
aura Borealis.
As you can see, I did really bad on my English SAT.
But you're a great conversationalist.
I was more of a math guy.
Minus two words. You've really nailed it.
Yeah, there's a couple.
You've
couple
nailed
words.
All the other definitions,
I had
Brady.
All the other okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what I'm saying is, like, that's what really kind of led me to it is seeing people around that had a strong faith and being like, dang, that's something I want to have.
Right.
You know? And then
I love that.
You got to go find it yourself.
That's the power of attraction, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and actually sort of golf doesn't have that in a lot of ways. Like for a long time, you said, you know, you would post a video about golf. Everyone would be like, thumbs down. Why does golf not have that power of attraction? And what's about to happen? Because you're cool. And you play golf. So how did that, you know, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And I play golf. And there are more.
I think, I don't know. I don't know if it was, you know, one of these things where just the way the whole golf structure was in the past really made it to be where you had to have money, power.
Right.
Or notoriety or whatever it was. And if you weren't, you were scoffed at.
Yeah.
You know, I think Like I said, like the more you can open up something for everyone and say, hey, yeah, you might not want to play on the PGA Tour. Hey, you might not want to play on a mini tour. But
because wait, is your goal? What do you have a golf goal?
So my golf goal is to try to get as good as possible.
I like it.
That's my golf goal.
That's open-ended.
It's very open-ended.
I'd like something a little bit more concrete.
I think as I kind of go, I'll have more of a long-term goal. My only long-term goal. I have a lot of short-term goals.
You played college, high school golf.
I played for 1 year.
And then now you've been serious about golf for the past 3 months?
3 months.
And you've established a handicap yet?
It's around a one.
I mean, come on. Around a one.
Like y'all. I was saying, I have a really good coach.
You have a good coach, but you're an athlete and you're focused.
You gotta work hard. Yeah. It's like anything in life, right? Like if you really want something bad, you can work at it and obviously you need to have a certain skill set and whatnot, but are we in?
We're getting text messages.
Did
we
just get a text that say we're in?
I got everyone's saying meet in lobby at 3:45.
We're outside. Yeah, we just got passed.
We missed
the
cut.
We're T21.
You know what? Honestly, big smiles on my end.
You like that?
Yeah, because
it would have been nice to get some cash. I think we're gonna miss the cut by one.
That's I'm not gonna lie. It's that 1-3 putt.
We're literally gonna miss the cut by one. No, never mind. We won't. We'll miss it by two.
Jeez.
That makes me feel better though.
Two's better than one.
Yeah.
Brody wants to really lose.
Because I had a really, really bad putt. I left you with three difficult.
He did leave me with like six footers.
Like three times.
Like a 6-footer for par.
Like sliders.
Sliders.
And you made two of them.
One was like an 8, maybe a 7 or 8.
One was almost the same length as my putt.
It was so hard.
Like mine was almost this. I kind of like got like a little peripheral view of it, and I was like, dang.
Because
we were basically putting the same putt as I just did.
The alternate shot. Bro, you know what though? Really, my takeaway is like, number one, I want to get better at putting. Number two, I want to bang the table. Number two, I want to get better at putting. No, that's number one. Number two, I want to do this again. I want to do some type of putting game again.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first day, I never wanted to see a putter or a putting green or anything.
It was a grind.
For so long, but now I'm like I kind of got the itch.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's wrap this up. Everybody, check out this once the sun sets over here in Lost Wages, Brody and I are going to jump the fence over here at the Wynn. Are you down? Are you down?
Yeah, I think we grab three clubs.
Three clubs.
Putter. Maybe four clubs. Like putter, wedge.
I got a bag. I'm just throwing a bag in.
Yeah, but I saw your bag. Your bag is like versatile.
It's a quiver.
You could run with that bag.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a tour staff bag.
Don't bring that.
I don't want to bring
that. Just throw your clubs in my bag.
Okay, I'm going to bring like three clubs.
Colt, did we get glow sticks and stuff? Glow balls?
Oh, we have glow.
Yes!
Okay. That's actually crucial. Because I was going to say, I'm a player that as soon as I hit the ball, I sometimes have no idea where it is.
You will not lose these balls.
These we can see.
And did we get a Frisbee? We've got a Frisbee and we can put glow sticks on it.
On the Frisbee.
I don't know if you want to do that.
It might mess up the aerodynamic of the Frisbee.
We could pour the glow juice on the Frisbee.
Ooh.
There's already a light in it.
You got a light-up Frisbee.
I'm sure the weighting's all off.
Oh, you got the light-up Frisbee. No, light-up Frisbees aren't bad, actually.
I would just like to see it.
Yeah.
I would like a quick Frisbee lesson.
We could do, like, closest to the pin. You hit a golf ball from 40, I'll throw a Frisbee.
Or we could do is we could throw the Frisbee and then hit golf balls at the Frisbee because we can't see the flag.
The fence is high. I just want to put that out there.
You did see the fence?
Oh, no.
It's very high.
Colt saw the fence.
Wait, is it?
I cased the joint.
Does it not look good? What about the waterfall entrance? Is there like a sneaky
grotto?
At the grotto.
I mean, there's a waterfall right there. Is there
swimming in?
Is there a couple, you know, rocks that we can kind of skip across?
Parachute. Maybe we should parachute in.
Through the hotel might be dark horse walking with clubs.
What is dark horse? This is the fifth time you mentioned it. I don't know what it is.
All right, I'll do a quick story on dark horse because I know you're saying let's wrap this up.
I
mean, I'm not going anywhere.
Some of the best podcasts are way more than an hour.
We did just get cut.
We have no professional golf to play. By the way, what were you going to do if you had to become a professional to make that money?
Wait, say that again.
If we won today and we earned money, we would have to lose our amateur status.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Yeah, which I didn't really think about as a big deal, but
it's kind of big though, because then you can't play in like scrambles and stuff.
It's big. You need to then request your amateur status back.
Yeah.
I'm not a pro.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm a professional entertainer, but
I've beaten two pros though.
Really? Austin?
Yeah. What?
Who,
no, Austin is... No.
Austin's gangster right now.
All right. Let me make this clear. Professional golf, golfer not, is like here.
Right.
Like PGA Tour golfers are like.
Yeah, so he's got one like hand.
Out of frame.
He's got one hand at his chest, and the other hand is getting close to the ceiling as he can.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, he, like I said, he literally hit four. So I played with Austin Cook. I did a course.
It's a great video on YouTube. You got to check it out.
Good video on YouTube. We played nine holes. We showed up at the course. It had rained so much that the driving range was closed. He hit like 5-6 irons. Didn't stretch at all. I didn't see any sort of stretching. 5-6 irons. Goes on to birdie the first four holes.
Man.
I think the longest birdie putt he had was 4 feet.
Whoa.
Like just driver on the, like driver every time, fairway, wedge, 4 feet.
Gangster.
And just like, it's like, man, okay.
So good
I'm
at golf.
Not that good at golf.
But
yeah, so what were we talking about? Professional golf?
Or
what were we saying?
I don't even know.
Dark horse. All right, so everyone knows what dark horse means, and it started in race horsing.
Okay.
Okay, horse racing? Did I say race horsing? See, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
English, not great.
I like race horse horsing. Racing. I like race horsing.
Race horsing sounds good, too. So it started in there, obviously. Dark horse is the horse that was like had the outside chance of winning.
Right, got it. Right? Oh,
so
I see. Okay.
It's not the horse that's got the 3-1 odds. It's the horse that's got the 25-1 odds.
Unfortunately, this is a racially charged statement, but it's okay. It's not your fault.
Wait, how's that racially charged?
Well, I don't know. It's sort of like the light horse is better. I don't know.
I'm kidding.
I'm joking.
No such thing as light horse.
No such thing. Okay,
no,
got it.
No, just the dark horse. And then it kind of switched over to March Madness. So you hear it a lot. With like Cinderella stories, like this is the dark horse team of the tournament.
Right.
Or someone says, hey, this is my dark horse pick.
Right.
Like the pick that they might win, but they probably aren't going to.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Outside chance.
Yeah. So we were doing March Madness, and I picked, this is back, I don't remember what this was, but this was back when Michigan State was really, really good. They were a one seed. They weren't the one overall seed, but they were the one seed.
Right.
Okay. In their bracket. And I had them going to the Final Four, and I was like, dark horse Michigan State, Final Four. And everyone's like, no, that's not a dark horse pick. And I was like, no, that's a dark horse pick. Right? And so from there, I was like, dude, me and my buddy Chris were like, dude, let's just start. We didn't even have this conversation, but in our heads, we're like, this is kind of a sweet word. We need to use this more.
It really is a good phrase.
So like, we would go to a test that we didn't study for. And we'd come home and, you know, because we all lived, we had like a Frisbee house that like seven dudes on the team all lived in.
That right? sounds like a great TV show.
A lot of stuff went down. I won't tell you the nickname of the house because it's, you know, family friendly. So we would come back.
Finding out.
We'd come back and they would be like, dude, how'd you do on your test? I'd be like, dude, I straight dark horsed it. Straight dark horsed it. Meaning like I might have gotten an A.
Right.
But I probably got an F.
Yeah, the chances of you doing well are very low.
Very low, but
right.
You dark horsed it.
So we were dark horses
like today, we straight dark horsed it.
I think so.
Like we went out and we shot 3 under in the first round.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, these guys suck.
And then we shot 12 under on the next two.
We were second best round of the day in round two.
And we rose 32 spots. We literally are dark horses.
We were the dark horse. Yeah.
Dark horse.
Yeah, so you can just, you know, if someone's like, yo, dude, you want to jump over and play some golf on this illegal golf course tonight? I'd be like, dark horse.
That sounds like a dark horse move.
Yeah, I'd be like, dark horse.
And with that, everybody, we'll see you in the showers. Thanks for
the
joining me, Brody.
Is on fire?
There seems to be a fire adjacent to the course. We're not sure. This is a fire.
That could be our lead-in.
There seems to be some type of fire.
That could be our lead-in.
Yeah.
Do we have fireman suits?
Yeah. So with that, I've already said it once, but we will see you guys in the showers and or on YouTube and or on Instagram. Brody, any links you want to throw out? Your Instagram is Brody.
Just search Brody or Frisbee.
Literally Brody comes up.
Or Frisbee. Yeah, it's Brody Smith 21 on pretty much
Pulp everything. Fiction. You got to love Pulp Fiction.
Brody Smith Golf, though, is my YouTube channel.
Brody Smith Golf. Got it.
Yeah.
I feel like I could talk to you forever. I'm sure we'll talk again.
We'll do podcast number two at some point.
Podcast number two. I'm excited for that. And, you know, whatever. We'll hang.
All right.
Everybody, take care.
Bye.
Any questions for me?
Oh, do I now
forgot.
Question you?
That's one thing. No, that's one thing I forgot to do. It's like a lot of times I'm like, do you have a question for me? But it's more of a joke. Usually everyone says no.
Podcast number. I actually have a lot, but we'll do podcast number two. We'll keep you on the cliffhanger.
I think you should start a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into all this later, everybody. Have a great great week, everybody. See you soon. In the showers.